Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. And now, here's part two of a message called How Jesus Handled Stress.
Now notice, Jesus knew his calling. He knew exactly what he was called to do. He says in John 8:14, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. In other words, he lived a purpose-driven life. If you were to look up the word drive in a dictionary, you would find that the word drive means to guide or to control or to direct. If you drive a nail into wood, you guide, control, direct the nail into wood. If you drive a car, you guide, control, direct it down the street. If you drive a golf ball, hopefully you guide, control, direct it down the fairway. Everybody's life is driven by something. Some lives are driven by fear. Some lives are driven by guilt. They can't let go of the shame and the hurt and the regret. Some lives are driven by regret, and they hold on to their anger and it kills them. Some are driven by money. Some are driven by fame. Some are driven by sex. Some lives are driven by the approval of other people. God says, that's not what I want your life driven by. I want your life driven by your calling, by your purpose. I want you to know who you are, who you're trying to please, and what I put you on earth to do. Look at your shape and do that. And you will be guided either in life by pressure or by purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, then you're going to be susceptible to pressure and you're going to be stressed out because God loves you and everybody else has a wonderful plan for your life. And they want to get you all over in a corner. Now, the direction of your life, again, is your choice. And by clarifying your calling, you avoid the tyranny of the urgent. Have you learned that not everything important in life is urgent? And not everything that's urgent in life is important? When Dwight Eisenhower ran for president and became president of the United States, he used to have two baskets, in baskets, on his desk in the Oval Office. One of them said urgent and the other said important. And they said, well, what do you do with the important? He said, I do them. He said, what do you do with the urgent? He said, I ignore them. Just because something's urgent doesn't mean you should do it. You just need to do the life. There's not enough time in life to do everything that's urgent. You have just enough time to do God's will. You have just enough time to do your calling. And if you're feeling like, I don't have enough time, it means you're doing something in your life that God didn't call you to do. Think about that one. Until you clarify your calling, you're going to be double-minded. You're going to go back and forth between all kinds of things. In fact, the Bible says this in James 1:8. A person who has doubts about what they're supposed to be doing in life is thinking about two different things at the same time and can't make up his mind about anything. You're going to be double-minded. You're going to be wishy-washy. You're going to be pushed around. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So what do? It means you each day ask yourself while you're starting to do stuff, is this what I'm called to do? Is what I'm doing right now moving me toward my purpose? And if it is, you do it. If it's not moving you toward your purpose, don't do it. Dan Rather, when he was head of CBS News, used to have a little sign on his desk that said, is what I'm doing right now contributing to the evening broadcast? That's purpose-driven. That's focus. And that leads me to the fourth key in Jesus' life. The fourth antidote to stress is the principle of concentration, and that means just focus on what matters most. Focus on what matters most. Know who you are, identification. Know who you're living for, that's motivation. and know your calling. That's your vocation. And once you know those three, focus. Focus on what matters most. Don't get distracted by trivia. Now, let me tell you something. A little secret I've learned as a pastor. If Satan can't get you to be bad, he'll just get you to be busy. He doesn't care whether it's bad things or good things as long as you're not doing the right thing. As long as you're not doing your calling, your purpose, what God has called you to do. And he was very happy for you to fill your life up with good things that keep you from the better things or the best things. So you can waste your life on good things. They're not bad, they're good. It's not a matter of right or wrong, good and evil. It's a matter of better and best. And if Satan can't do you to get do bad, he'll get you busy. He'll wear you out with good things. And there's plenty of good things in life to wear you out. Everybody agree with that? Yeah, there's plenty of things to wear you out around it. Now, Jesus is a master of concentration. He knew how to focus, and he focused his life like a laser. And that's the key to a successful life. Focus. Know what God has called you to do, and then focus on it, and don't do anything else. That's what we talk about being purpose-driven. You see, light diffused has no power at all. Light focused has enormous power. You can take the focus, the sun, it doesn't do any problem to grass, but if you focus it with a magnifying glass, you can burn grass. You can also burn little bugs, which I loved to do when I was a kid, you know. Just, how cool is that? Burn army men and all kinds of things. Never mind. If you focus light even more, it becomes a laser, and a laser can cut through steel, and a laser can kill a cancer, and a laser can do all the other things in life. If you want your life to matter, focus it. Paul says, this one thing I do, that's focus. He doesn't say, these 40 things I dabble in. And what we do in life is we dabble in this and that and this and that and a little bit of everything and, you know, master of nothing. The Bible says this about Jesus in Luke chapter 9. As the time drew near for Jesus' return to heaven, he moved steadily onward toward Jerusalem. That's where the cross is going to happen. With an iron will. In other words, he was persistent, he was determined, he was focused, he was concentrated, he knew what mattered most. Now let me tell you why this is so important. You have enormous spiritual potential that is locked. You're living a fraction of your spiritual potential right now, just a fraction of it. It's like you being a 12-cylinder car and you're running on two cylinders. You have far more spiritual potential than you have ever imagined. You go, me? I'm not a spiritual person. Yeah, that's why. Because you don't see it. You have enormous spiritual power and potential in your life. But there's a barrier that's keeping it from coming out. What is it? You haven't really decided yet what matters most in life. You're still just going around treating everything like it's all equally important. It's not. There's some things that are going to last for eternity. There's some things that are going to last for 10 years. There's some things that are going to last for 10 minutes. And there's some things that aren't going to be worthwhile 10 seconds from now. And when you give equal importance to something that's going to last 10 minutes and 10 years and 10 trillion years, that's a poor choice. That is a very poor choice. A lot of times people say, well, I just don't have time to do the important things. I don't have time to fulfill my calling, to do my vocation. I don't have time to fulfill my ministry. Yeah, well, that's an old excuse. People gave that excuse to Jesus years ago. Jesus said, hey, come follow me. And one guy said, I got to go sell some land. And another guy said, I got to go close a deal. And another guy said, I got to go get married. And another guy said, I got to go bury my dad. Jesus said this, there on your outline, Luke 9:62. Anybody who lets himself be distracted from the work, that's the vocation, the calling that I plan for him, is not fit for the kingdom of God. He said, don't get distracted. Know who you are. Know what you're living for. Know your calling. Focus on what matters most. Look at the verse on the back of your outline. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I love this Amplified because it gives the full meaning of the Greek. Let's read it aloud. We are free to do anything, but not all things are helpful or profitable or wholesome or constructive to your character and spiritual life. Now, I love this. He says here, not everything. He said everything's possible. Everything. He said, you know, you're free to do anything you want. See, God's given you a free will. You can totally waste your life if you want to, and God won't stop you. You can waste your life. You can spend your life, or you can invest your life. And the greatest use of your life is to invest it in that which will outlast it. Living for here and now is a terrible, stupid mistake. It's short-term thinking. You need to invest your life in something that's going to outlast your life because you're going to spend more time on the other side of death than on this side. Now, he says here, we are free to do anything. God will give you the freedom to do anything you want. But he said, not everything is helpful or profitable or wholesome or constructive to your character and spiritual life. In other words, some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. They're not necessarily bad. They're not necessary. There's a lot of things you could do with your life that's not necessarily evil. It's just not necessary. He says you need to concentrate your life because if you don't, stress is going to stress you out all the time. And if you want an effective life, selection is the name of the game. Know what matters most. Principle number five. Principle number five is the principle of meditation. That is, listen to God. This is one of the key sources of stress reduction, learning to listen to God. Don't just talk to him. Listen to God. You say, well, wait a minute. I never hear God speak. God never talks to me. How can I listen to him? I'll tell you why God never talks to you. Because you don't be quiet long enough. Here's your prayer. God, I need these five things. God, I want these five things. God, I need help in these five areas. God, I'm thankful for these five things. Over now, 10-4, good buddy, sayonara. And God was, oh, time out. You never listen to me. Isn't this thing supposed to be a conversation? Yes. Why don't I hear from God? Because you're not quiet. You won't sit still long enough for God to speak back to you. Now, let me just make this real clear. Here's how this works. I have never, ever heard God speak audibly to me. Like a voice out of heaven, like, you know, some deep, dark voice. But God doesn't need to do that. I don't need God to do that. He can put impressions right into my mind. The same God who invented radio waves, which means there's sound floating through this room right now. In fact, those sound waves are going through your body right now. You don't know it, but they're going through your body right now. You're just not tuned in. But if we had a radio and tuned it in, you'd pull sound out. You'd receive the sound, the messages that are going through the air right now. And the same God who created television, where there are actually pictures floating through this air right now, and they're floating through your body. Television waves are going all through this thing right now. We don't see them, but if we had a receiver and tuned it in, you'd see the color picture. And there are cell phone things. If God created all of that kind of stuff, he doesn't need to speak to me audibly. He can put an idea directly into my mind. He made my brain. And as a human being, he gave me a brain. He can put thoughts in my mind. Now, when you get a thought from God, that's called inspiration. When you get a thought from the devil, that's called temptation. When you get a thought from yourself, that's called stupidity. Just kidding you. Yeah, just kidding. Okay. Now, granted, when you first start in this and you're trying to listen to God, sometimes you can't figure out, is it me, the devil, or God, or the bad pizza I ate last night? But you can get good at this. You really can. I talk to God all the time. God talks to me all the time. And I know now, because I've been walking the Lord long enough, when it's me thinking my own thoughts. And I know now when it's the devil trying to just tempt me. And I know when it's the bad pizza from the night before. But you can get good at this. Now, if you get an idea and it is a bad idea, it isn't from God. If you get an idea and it's an evil idea, it's from the devil. If you get an idea that contradicts what's in this book, what God has already said in his truth, it's not from God. God will never contradict his truth. But here's what you need to do. You need to be quiet for an extended period of time. Now, God speaks in many different ways. Sometimes God speaks through reading the Bible. And so you want to read the Bible on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And sometimes a verse pops out and you go, wow, that's exactly what I needed to work with that person today. And I go, whoa, man, I needed that. And sometimes it speaks through the Bible. Sometimes God speaks through a Christian friend. And they give you a word of insight that go, whoa, man, that really helps. But sometimes God speaks directly through impressions into your mind. And here's what I would challenge you to do. Tomorrow, or even this afternoon, get off by yourself, like sunrise or sunset. Sit in the back of your yard by yourself, nice, quiet place. Get a glass of cold iced tea and sit there and say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? And then just sit there for a long time. Okay. Not like, man, how long has that been? Wow, 90 seconds. I thought that was like 2 hours. Man, you see, most of you have never sat still in total silence for 15 minutes, much less 30 minutes or an hour. You in your entire life have never sat still just for 15 minutes. Go, God, anything you want to say to me? And that's why God doesn't ever talk to you, because you're not listening. You're not tuned in. You're on some other channel. You're always busy listening to the radio or iPod or TV or talking. The channels are busy and the lines are all busy. So what you do, one of the things I like to do is I like to ask God a question. I say, God, what do you want me to do about this? And I'll just sit there and listen and be quiet. Sometimes it comes and sometimes it comes a day later. I can't tell you the number of times that when I've gone to bed at night, I would say, Lord, I've really got this problem. I need a solution to this problem, and I don't know what you want me to do here. And I'll ask God that question as I go to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, when I get out of bed, I can't tell you the number of times the answer has been there. Or I get in the shower and I get the answer there. Somebody's got to invent a waterproof note-taking thing for the shower. So you can write down, oh, I don't want to forget that. Because a lot of times you get an idea from God, and if you don't write it down, you forget it. You know, everybody agree with this? You know what I'm talking about? And you go, oh, man, I forgot it. What was that? I was in the shower. You know? You try to recreate the moment. So God speaks to the person who wants to listen. Listen to God. Don't just talk to him. Listen to God. Prayer is an enormous stress reliever. And in your life, you're either going to worry or you're going to worship. And if you worry, then you're not going to worship. But if you worship, then you won't worry. Now, you already know how to do meditation. How many of you know how to worry? Raise your hand if you know how to worry. Okay. Then you already know how to meditate. People think meditation means like put your mind in neutral, get in a lotus position, and contemplate the lint in your navel. No, that is not meditation. Meditation literally means to think seriously about something over and over and over. When you take a bad idea and you meditate over it, over and over and over on a bad idea, there's a word for that, worry. When you take a good idea, you take a verse of scripture and you think on it over and over and over, there's a word for that, meditation. Worry is just negative meditation. If you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. You just keep going over and over and over in your mind. Now, listen to God. Prayer is cathartic. You unload your burdens. It's a decompression chamber. And if you study the life of Jesus, you discover how many times Jesus took time to go pray, to get alone. In fact, look at some of these verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Here's another secret of stress relief. very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What's he doing? He's having a quiet time. Now, all of the characteristics there, get alone, get by yourself, when you're rested. Now, today, why don't we hear God? Because for us, the verse would read, along about mid-morning in the middle of the day at this traffic light, a stoplight, we gave God 5 seconds to speak to us. No, you go to a solitary place where he prayed. Just get by yourself and be quiet. No, look at the next verse. News about Jesus spread even more, and crowds came to hear him and to be healed. In other words, he had no privacy. Crowds were around him all the time. But Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. Circle the word often. It was his habit. You need to have a quiet time every day to reflect, to renew, to recharge. It was his often habit. He did it regularly. Now, if Jesus felt the need to pray and be with God, how much more do we? You know, personally, I have discovered that the larger Saddleback Church becomes, the more I crave solitude. Why? Because I'm with people all the time. I'm always with people. And the person, the pastor, who is available all the time isn't worth much when he's available. I've got to be off with God alone so God gives me something to help you when I am with you. And Jesus did this. He would retreat to privacy for quiet times with God, and then he'd come back and he'd minister and he'd retreat. You need times in your life where you get alone on a regular daily basis and spend some time with God to get recharged, renewed, and restored. Pascal, the famous philosopher, once said, most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. We all have spiritual ADD, attention deficit disorder. And we don't spend time focusing on God. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I've got something really special to share with you today, especially if you love Christmas and God's Word. We've got a brand new set of 52 beautifully designed scripture cards, each featuring a Bible verse centered on the Christmas story and the promise of hope found in the birth of Jesus, the true meaning of the season. And these cards aren't just pretty, although trust me, they're stunning. These are powerful tools to help you memorize God's Word and keep it close so that you've got it right when you need it. And while these cards are perfect for your personal study, they're also wonderfully versatile and they can help keep Jesus at the center of your holiday. You could use them as meaningful gift tags on your Christmas presents. Place one at each setting on your holiday table or share them individually with friends as a thoughtful gesture. So, whether you're starting a new tradition or looking for a unique way to share the gospel with friends and family, well, these cards are a perfect fit. And trust me, you're going to love them. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, be sure to request this very special collection of Christmas scripture cards. That's our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.